I'm Carol Dean, president of From the Heart. And Naheed and I are interviewing Bob Siegel this week on everything you wanted to know about film funding. That's our event we're doing this month. And Bob is From the Heart's attorney. He's my personal attorney. And Tom Malloy uses him too. I found that when I invited Bob to join Tom and I in our class and find that Tom uses Bob. He's brilliant. So I hope some of you can join us in that Wednesday at 10 a.m. everything event, because I think he put the link to the class in the chat bar.
Yes, I just did.
Okay, thank you. Because that way, see, you can ask questions of Bob. He negotiates with Netflix and HBO and all of the other streamers. So what we want to know is, how do you reach the streamers? What are they buying? And a lot of other questions like that. So one day when Bob and I were talking, he told me that he was negotiating with Netflix to help sell a film. And he said, you know, they come in packs. And no, what? I said, what does that mean? He said, well, I was negotiating with Netflix and they had six people on the call. Six attorneys he had to deal with, six other minds, right? That's incredible. And I'm sure he came out on top. And I just want you to know, you may have missed it, but we did an interview with Stephen Follows on his brilliant book, How to Crowdfund Your Film. It's now on the website under the blog tab on our website. So you go to the drop-down menu that says everything you want to know about film funding, and then you click on that and you'll find the new crowdfunding information. Plus you'll find information on funding parties, goal setting, and three on creating your trailers. And for today's class, if you have any questions you want to ask me or Brianne or Carol Joyce, please put them in the chat bar and Naheed will ask us. So the outline for the class today is that I cover information from the book Mind Power. And then Brianne will tell us about opening to receive all that is available. And Carol Joyce is going to share some information on manifesting. And Clay is going to pitch us his brilliant film. So let's get started. I love the film reviews in the New Yorker magazine. And a week ago, they had a review on Julia Childs. They said that there was a new series on HBO Max about her as a humble housewife who had written a cookbook and her extraordinary rise to the crown jewel of PBS programming. So every night, Carol Joyce and Tommy Adams and I watch a movie. Well, I thought this might not be something that they would like, so I just thought I would watch it by myself. And I found it to be a lot of fun. It's a great story, well done, lots of comedy, and it's empowering, okay? And the reason I'm mentioning this is because Julia Child created her future. She wanted that television show. She made it happen. It all started when she was invited to go on the PBS station WGBH in Boston to be interviewed for her cookbook. Now, at the interview, Julia walked onto the set with a shopping bag full of stuff, and she plopped it down next to her chair. And when this well-known book intellectual, who was appalled at having to interview a cookbook person, he asked her his first question, well, Julia started unpacking her bag, pulled out her hot plate, got on the floor, and crawled with her back to us. So we're looking at her rear while she's plugging in the hot plate. She comes back to her chair and begins to make an omelet for everyone to see how simple it is. And by doing this, she stole the show. She looked at him and said, I think you're a three-egg man. And she, with two hands, was cracking eggs and putting them in this pan, beating them up, and made an omelet. Now, this whole interview happened because a WGBH Black woman associate producer at the bottom of the ladder found Julia and she invited her. And after this show, Julia took the initiative and she wrote this producer and proposed a cooking show. Well, the producer, it just knew. It's one of those things sometimes where you just know you've got a winner. She knew she could have a hit show with Julia. So after Julia's impressive creation of this three-egg omelet on camera, WGBH collected 13 letters from people saying that they loved Julia. So this producer took him into one of the meetings and began to pitch a cooking show with Julia to teach women in America how to cook like the French. And the associate producer said that the mandate for WGBH was education, and a cooking show would be perfect for them. And the head of WGBH liked Julia, and he liked the show, and he agreed that their license was to educate. So he asked the producer to run the numbers on what it would cost to do a show with her. Well, the producer did, and he put in the cost to build a whole kitchen. And he invited Julia in and he told her, no, we can't do the show. It's too expensive. So Julia replied, looking like I do has taught me never to take no for an answer. That no was the beginning of a negotiation for Julia. That's a lot of determination, right? I think that's a good lesson for all of us. Had she not sat there and talked this out with the top producer, she would never have gotten that show. The producer said, look, the cost of building a set is expensive, Julia, and that and one show, here's the budget. Well, Julia said, if that's why you're saying no, then I'll pay for it. In fact, I'll even pay for the show. I'll pay for the building, the kitchen, and the show. Well, of course, that changed their mind. The producer said, okay, you're set for one show. So the problem was that she had agreed to pay for the kitchen set, and she didn't even look at the budget. She did not know how much it was. And then once she got out of the meeting and saw how much it was and realized that she didn't have enough money, she couldn't pay for it. And so there she is, like many of you, when you get a great idea and you do the budget and you say, oh my gosh, look at this. She was at that same place. So she had a rich father, but she put that aside and she decided she would do cooking classes on a weekly basis. And she had to use her cookbook income. And then she still was in the hole for money. So she told her female friends how very much she wanted to cook on TV and she really wanted this show. And they rallied around and helped her. So to achieve the show, Julia, like all of you, found creative ways to get the money. You do the same thing. You find people who love you and love your film and they give their heart to you. Right? This is how independent filmmakers work. So to achieve the show, she had to go buy a TV set. She didn't even own a TV. So when she went to buy one, the film, the HBO shows her standing in front of 20 television sets in a store. And we see that they all had different programs on them. And as Julia stood there, she began to see herself on the TV. And her picture popped up on one TV, then two, then all of them. Julia Childs was on television as she stood there. This was in the film. This is the same visualization that we talk about every week on how to visualize to create your future. And this is exactly what it takes to create your future. Julia took the initiative for writing the letter to say, I want to do a TV show to teach Americans how to cook like the French. She did not take no for an answer. This was her vision. She was relentless in getting that first show made, so much so that WGBH came on board. They weren't excited about it, but they did it. But remember, Junia had to learn how to cook for the camera. She had to learn how to stand in front of hot lights, to be original, to be humorous, to keep her attention while she was beating eggs and stirring cakes, which is really boring. And she made mistakes. And that was the best part of the show. She was human. And she captured us with her honesty. And everyone quotes her for saying, you're all alone in the kitchen. No one but you knows what happened. Because we saw chicken parts flying across the room. And we saw flambés light up like a three-alarm fire. And we saw her cut herself and keep on going. And she was bleeding all over the kitchen. Now, that's when Dan Aykroyd began to mimic her. And she took off like a rocket ship. Well, I found this HBO film, Julia, to be empowering. I believe it is a true representation of what it takes to be an independent filmmaker. It takes talent and tons of guts. So never give up is a good mantra for all of you. Never take no for an answer. No is a beginning negotiation. So let's get into Mind Power by John Kehoe. It's a great book. So John talks about seeding your visualizations. Seeding is adding feelings. And he's right. Feelings with visuals are like the change that happened when movies had soundtracks. They're passionate, they're emotional, and they contain lots of good energy. So visualizing with emotions like completion, like you've already made your film, pride, how proud you are of what you have achieved, confidence, the inner knowing that you can do this, enthusiasm, that's your most important one, that you are so excited about what you have done in pretending it's already finished, and faith, the faith that this is yours, that the future belongs to you. And just like Julia, you'll be able to successfully manifest your vision. If any of you remember the film Bruce Almighty, when Jim Carrey was God, well, prayers were yellow post-its. And if you think back to the film, you'll remember he'd walk into his room in the morning and be full of yellow post-its every morning. And then he would go to work answering prayers. Well, I think that seeding them with emotions would turn the post-its from yellow to hot pink so they stand out. This is the way I think when I am visualizing and sending emotions up. My intent is that they go straight to the whoever is up there manifesting stuff for us, or to the energy in the quantum field that believes it already exists and brings it to us. The point is that emotions are powerful. So be sure to use emotions when you're visualizing and send your visions to the universe with tons of feeling. So let's pretend that you're going to pitch someone. I recommend that you take the time a few days before you meet them to start visualizing your meeting. See yourself pitching your film. It's like an over-the-shoulder shot, okay? You're pitching the film and your potential donor is smiling and nodding and agreeing with you. And they're enjoying and they're receiving the information you're giving them about your film. Then see yourself with pride, enthusiasm, and confidence. You should take this into your meditation and visualize the outcome you want with emotions. So remember how powerful emotions are, and please put a lot of emotion in your visualization. And I want you to be prepared for people to ask you questions. And I want you to be very proud, all right, because you have the answers. I want you to know what your budget is and be able to defend it. I talked to Sam DeLuca. He's doing my color. I know that amount is this. I talked to Jerry Deaton. I know my sound costs. I talked to Bob Siegel. I know my attorney's cost. See, I want you to know exactly what your budget is. That is your responsibility, to know where you're spending the money you're asking for. And I want you to know where or how you believe the film will be distributed. You want to be able to explain where this donor or investor will see your film. Where will it land when it's completed? I really want you to be fully prepared for all kinds of questions, and I want you to be totally confident that you will get funded and live with that belief that you have what you want. I really want you to feel successful, feel confident, and let these feelings be part of your vision. And remember that all we have is the present. So don't say, I will have. That puts it in the future. So you have to pretend it's real in this very moment. That's one of the most important tricks to bringing you, the life you want. You are actually living your dream. You're living with the life you want to live in your mind. So keep that thought as the present, not the future. And this is how you claim your future. And it's a powerful process. That's just what Julia Child did. She claimed her future. She felt it. She saw it. She believed it. And she got it. And so can you. So let's go back to the book 9, Mind Power, all right? Because John goes into chapter 5 telling us how important affirmations are. He is reminding us that our statements and our constant belief in our achievements are important to us. He says that affirmations are simple statements repeated to yourself silently or aloud. You can do them anywhere, like in your car, waiting in the doctor's office, while you're walking, when you're lying in bed before you go to sleep. That's a really good time. He says that what you're doing with affirmations is simple. You are influencing the thoughts in your mind that are filling your mind with thoughts that support your goal. All right. So he suggests when you're doing your affirmations that you have to be consistent. You want to keep your affirmations going until you have achieved what you are affirming. So I suggest you use the powerful two words, I am, and start your affirmations with things like, I am an award-winning filmmaker. I am fully funded. I'm having a lot of fun making my film. I am getting weekly donations. I am receiving surprise donations, right? This is what we ask for all the time for our filmmakers, surprise donations. And we see them come on. It's fabulous. So all the mental work that I'm sending to the universe brings me money from sources I never expected. I am fully funded. He suggests that you keep your affirmations short. And I agree. You might consider using things as simple as, I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am happy. these affirmations will get you through the day with a lot of joy. And this is where we have to remember to not make any statements against ourselves like, oh, gee, I never do that right. Or I'm so sorry, I always get it wrong. I'm a disaster. These are things you want to get totally out of your vocabulary. I am are the two most powerful words in the dictionary, especially when you use them to create your future. Trust me, I trust you. They will bring you what you want. Okay, so now we'll go to chapter 6, where John says that we are very quick to see our failures and not to maintain our success. He says that when we get successes, we are often happy a few days, and then we go back and we forget our successes. We keep on with our filmmaking, and he says, what you want to do is make it a point of remembering successes. So let's reuse that success energy from past achievements again and again and expect very positive results. Let's say you wanted to get into a film festival and you did, even if it was 3 years ago. Think about that energy you felt when you received the notification that you had been accepted, or when you wanted to become a teacher and they accepted you and you started teaching. That's a great energy, and you want that around you. You want to keep bringing that energy up, that wonderful memory of acceptance and support. And so when you get great compliments, or when people give you wonderful feedback, live on that for days and weeks. You know, take it inside you and feel it. And let the positive stuff you hear stay with you. Enjoy it, all right? Forget the negative. I remember there was a song, maybe back in the 70s, that said, eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between. So remember that song. When you're focusing on what you want to achieve and looking for emotions and the feelings, which he calls seeding your thoughts, right? These are what help you create your future. And you want to put that emotion that you felt when you got a compliment or when you got an award into your daily life and use that energy. And you want to start telling yourself how good you are. Okay, you might say, I am great with people. I am an excellent communicator. I'm a natural salesperson. Tom does that, and he is the best salesperson I ever heard. I am talented. I am organized. These are wonderful things to use as your daily mantras, because once you feel successful, you are attracting and functioning from that vibration, right? That is a vibrational level. You're in what I call the success vibration level. This success level is what you want to feel when you write something, when you talk to people, and particularly when you're looking for money. You need to be in a place where you feel that you deserve the donation. You deserve the investment. I want you to be in the place where you know that you have a brilliant project, where you know that you will complete the project. So by feeling these things and having them as part of your DNA, you become the perfect person to give a donation to. That's what people are looking for. They want to support a winner, a creative. They want to support you. So it's your job to show them that you are creative, that you are a brilliant artist, and you deserve to be funded. Remember that people start picking up your thoughts when they get inside your aura. And your aura stands 6 feet from your body. So when you sit next to someone to talk to them, even if you had a table between you, it would probably still be within 6 feet, and you would be in a place where they can read you and they will know how confident you are. That's when they start making decisions. They make decisions from their inner feelings about you. Moravian, the professor, said in his research that only 7% of what you say affects their decision-making. 55% of the decision-making process is based on how you walk, how you talk, how you carry yourself, how much confidence you have. Things like, do you look them in the eye? Are you positive in your statements? Do you sit up straight? Are you a happy person? Are you excited and enthused about your project? 38% of the decision-making process is your voice, how enthusiastic your voice is. And this is really important because people are reading all of these signals. So if you show any depression or uncertainty or lack of knowledge, then you're creating this feeling of uncertainty. So if your voice is quivering, that could be read as fear. And if you're fearful, they will be too, and they don't want to give you money if you're not positive. So you want to watch how you talk, and you want to watch how you fill in. You don't want to say, you know. You don't want to use, I'm thinking about it. These things work against you. The voice and the things you say are 38% of the decision-making process. So you can see that the most important thing to work on is you. You are the film. So you need to shore up your own belief in you to close your donation, to get that discount, or to hire that person you want. And I know you may be thinking, wow, Carol, you're asking a lot. Yes, I know, but let's look at the benefits, right? Joseph Campbell says, when you're on the right path, invisible hands will come to your aid. That's the prize you get. So don't try to figure it out, and don't ask how. Just know it will happen. This is the most important part of creating your future. That's your faith. Your faith has to be relentless. Shakespeare said, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts to heaven do not go. So Shakespeare knew that you had to have feelings with your thoughts to bring you the future you want. So thank you all for letting me share this with you. And Brianne, please let us hear from you.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for inviting me to the party. I really love this information. And I think that it's very helpful now because we're in such a higher level energy and we are moving through a lot of energies. And one of the biggest things that is up for people right now is self-truth. And I get asked often, why do people not get what it is that they're looking for or they're asking for? And I believe it is because they're just not in a state of self-truth. Now, truth is very interesting and it's very important to people, and I get that. And a lot of times, though, we think that we're in our truth, but we're really not. We could be stuck in our childhood truths. We could be stuck in our parents' money truths. We could be stuck in our ex-spouse's truths. So we're really not in our energy, and we can really benefit by getting into our own personal truths. And one of the biggest things that I had to learn with this is that truth is dynamic. We would like to think truth is very black and white, and maybe some bigger truths are, but the truth of us is actually dynamic. And the more we can allow it to be dynamic, the more we can allow it to be to be changed, because we really need to change in order for us to get what it is that we really want. You know, we can create our films, create our lives in our current energy, but it's going to be harder. And some of it may not happen because we're stuck in old patterns. So allowing truth to be dynamic. And one of the blessings of COVID was that people had to spend a lot of time alone. So they had to really look at their lives. And one of the big things happening right now is people have realized their lives aren't working and they want change, but sometimes they don't know how. And us humans, you know, we really don't like change. Most of us don't. We have to learn to love it. We have a big resistance to change. And so when we go to make our goals to fund our film, we have to look and see where we're resistant to change and allow us to create new patterns, new ideas, and new happinesses. One of the things that I heard someone say way back when was that one of the biggest things for people not getting what they want is what she called gratitude syndrome. So basically what happens is when they go to start changing things, they look at, oh, well, life is good. Life is good. I don't want to ask for anything more. My life is good. You know, I just don't want to be ungrateful and ask for something new. Well, the problem is you don't have to be ungrateful to ask for something new. You can say, I love my life. You know what? I want it to be better. And this is where self-talk comes in, because we have to watch the negativity and we really have to look at where we don't ask, where we don't allow ourselves to ask for things, because we all do it. And, you know, one of the things too that can often happen when we start asking for new things, start new goals and being in our new energy, is sometimes the opposite of what we're asking for happens. And a lot of people get very frustrated with that. I know that happened to me a lot when I first started. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, our mind is creating, but what is also coming up is old beliefs and old experiences for us to let go of. So we need to be in a state of really good self-talk. You know what, universe, I'm done with this. I am done with creating money and then creating problems that take the money. I'm done. I let this go. And then get back to visualizing you having a lot of money and being able to create without problems too. One of the things that happens is if we do not allow ourselves to be in change and in gratitude mode and easy change, sometimes we create problems in order to give us permission to change. And I don't know about you, but that's not what I like, because I've done that before. So really looking at any resistance and just allowing things to be, to change, to happen easily. And being in the great self-talk, and Carol said about getting things out of your vocabulary, but it's also adding good new self-talk. It's like, you know, I'm wonderful. I'm a wonderful filmmaker. I'm a wonderful person. And being in that energy and feeling it is good. You know, one of the things I heard recently, the brain doesn't believe what the nervous system doesn't experience. So basically that what that means is if you do a goal, you do an affirmation without the believing component, the brain will say, well, no, that doesn't happen. That's not real. So that's one of the reasons why we need to add that. So self-truth, where do you start with that? Well, the first part is looking at your life and the objectives of your life. And I believe there's a couple of ways that are very effective to do this. So look at each avenue of your life, your relationships, your money, your career, your creative life, your body, and just take a deep breath and allow yourself to look at it truthfully. Is it working for you? Do you want more? And look at where you don't allow yourself to ask for more. Now, one of the things that often happens with this is, well, I'm not happy, but I'm not unhappy either. I'm just kind of right in the middle. So it's basically about choosing happiness. Where can you choose happiness? And where can you choose fulfillment and all of those other wonderful emotions? So when you're, after you're in the energy and you evaluate them, you start making your goals and absolutely positively set goals for each areas of your life. And goals are small, medium, large, beyond possible, and fabulous. And, you know, the small is little ones, medium, they have little moving parts. Larger can have medium goals attached, but there's more things to it. Beyond fabulous is you're stretching goals beyond what you have. So if you made $50,000 a year for the year 2021, it's like I make and I receive at least $55,000 in 2022. So you do that. And the fabulous ones is, you know, awesome. Like my film is fully funded in 2022. And you just allow that energy to expand. And there's also the fun goals of anything and everything that sounds fun, you write down. You know, I allow myself to have a fun trip. I allow and choose to have a fun trip to Hawaii. Awesome. Just anything and everything. And that gets you out of the success failure paradigm and it allows things to move. So once you're in your energy and you look at it, I find it's also very helpful to look at your life objectives from outside of you. It's like you visualize you're looking at you. So you're on the outside looking in and you do the process again. And sometimes if you're looking from that objective energy and not in the energy, it can give you new awarenesses. And again, you would write your goals and allow yourself to be happy and to have everything. And notice when you do not allow yourself. I had a new client this past week and we were talking about goals and he said, oh, well, I can't write having a beach house as a goal because I have not done anything to manifest it. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Manifesting starts with your intention. It starts with you putting the energy out there. And he really didn't understand that, but I believe it's very true, is you have to have the thought, the feeling, and put all of that energy out there and allow it to happen. One of the biggest things that is coming up with people because of the change and a sign that you do need to change is if something that used to make you happy is not making you happy anymore. And really, please, please, please look at that, because I believe that one of the biggest causes of depression is us trying to make things work that really don't work for us anymore, don't make us happy. When I was studying energy psychology way back when, I had a client bring in her mother. Her mother had been chronically depressed for years. And when I was talking, it's like the mother just really wasn't responsive. And all of a sudden, I started seeing square dancing. And her mother just kind of stopped all of a sudden, and she got more aware. And we talked about it. And what had happened was she loved square dancing. It was fun. And then she stopped. And the reason why she stopped is because she was part of a group. She had a crush on a guy. He didn't return her affections. And one of her best friends stole him, quote unquote. And so she kept herself in the group, but it just didn't work anymore and it wasn't fun. So we removed some of the trauma from that, but I was seeing salsa dancing. I said, you know, salsa. And she admitted that she had been thinking about salsa music lately. So anyway, over the next 6 months, she got into salsa dancing and she really discovered who she was, because she needed that fun energy. Her body loved the dancing, but she also needed the group energy. So once she allowed herself to have that, a lot of her depression issues went away. Now, one of the reasons why we need to really look at this too is if we do not change some of these things and everything makes us unhappy, we can grow into what they call chronic dissatisfaction mode. So basically what that means is nothing makes us happy anymore. And that is not a good thing, as you can imagine, because that can really spiral into really, really bad energies. Now, they say that depression is an obsession with the past, and anxiety is a obsession with the future. And I really believe that. So if you have either of those, kind of look at it, and it's like, what are you trying to make work that really isn't working for you? Now, of course, one of the big things that's coming up with this is relationships. And one of the things I keep hearing is, you know, all of a sudden, I'm just not attractive to him anymore. This relationship's not working. I just don't know what to do. So please, please, please take care of you in the relationships. Most of the time, we don't need to jump ship immediately, but we really want to because we want to be in happiness mode again. So we go to jump ship. And that can be a problem because I cannot tell you how many women that I have known who are just upset, they don't want to be in anymore, and then they leave really quickly. And then they don't get the money they're entitled to in the divorce. They don't take care of themselves. So they're constantly struggling for the rest of their lives because they didn't stop and really look at things. Also, too, is with relationships, I believe that you need to take them as far as you can possibly take them and to know that. And the reason for that is I have seen way too many people on their deathbeds lamenting old relationships. I had a client who was dying of lung cancer. She said, oh, I should have married Johnny. I should have married Johnny. Well, Johnny was an alcoholic. Would the relationship have worked? No. But what happened is she didn't get closure and she didn't get the satisfaction that she took it as far as she could take it. So 40 years later, she's still holding on to Johnny and she never allowed new love to come in. So we have to make sure that we allow ourselves to know we took the relationship as far as we could take it. So when you go to do with all of this, one of the things that I recommend is make sure that the energy just isn't you. Clean your energy. We're sponges and we're picking up a lot of negativity. Clean your energy, flood yourself with white light, whatever techniques that you use, but clean your energy. And then make sure that you're in a good space. You know, feed your mind with water, with nutrition, you know, everything. So just make sure that your energy is as clean as possible. And then really evaluate it. Why isn't it? Is something going on with you? Have you changed? Do you feel like you need them to change? And a lot of times when we need people to change, that just doesn't work. But getting clarity on the relationship and getting clarity on you and where you are is really super important. And then allow yourself to have as much as you possibly can those tough talks about coming from a place of where you are and honesty and no blame, what is going on in the relationship. And just talking with them, because a lot of times what you may find out is they're also in a similar place, but they you need to just speak it and create a space where it can be talked about. So, and this can be the same with your relationship with money, your relationship with the future, spiritual people, all of this stuff, and allowing money to really work for you. Because a lot of times as spiritual people, we say, oh, well, money's not important to me. I don't think money is important. Well, the truth is, it needs to be at least a little bit important in this reality because it's all about opportunity. And I have seen so many people, they don't create the money when they're younger because it's just not important. And then they get older and they're deprived of the opportunities or they don't have the security. So it's all about, you know, you looking at your money energies and your relationship with money too, and make that important because that will also help you fund your film. A big thing that I have started doing, which I really love, and I would really encourage other people to do, is upgrading your lifestyle. Because sometimes we have trained ourselves to, you know, I should be happy with less. I don't need an awful lot. I'm a minimalist. And awesome, you know, that's great. But, you know, sometimes what that does is it really limits us. So what does your lifestyle look like? And what can you allow yourself to have? You know, and your lifestyle is kind of like, you know, your life in general. It can be your environment. It can be travel. It can be beauty. It can be social. It can be your film. So where do you allow yourself to have the lifestyle you would want? And what lifestyle would make you happy? Doesn't have to be a big house, but, you know, maybe your lifestyle is the ability to travel the film festival circuit with your film, creating a beautiful environment. So upgrading that, and that's also great goals. You know, it can be really wonderful for you, because a lot of times with our environment, if we upgrade our environment, that means we have more confidence, we have more light, we have more love. So you allowing yourself to do that is good. And, you know, it starts with questions of what makes me happy and what creates the future I would like to create. Because, you know, there's a lot of teachings out there that, yeah, maybe it is a car, and maybe it's just a car, but how do you feel in that car? One of the multimillionaires that I follow, he was talking about he loves his really, really expensive cars. And he likes them because it just makes him feel good. He likes the feel of the leather on his skin. And what it does is it makes him appreciate everything he's done, but it also makes him appreciative of the future too, and of creating more things so he can continue to enjoy the lifestyle. So what makes him happy? And I think that that is a wonderful thing. So it's all about, you know, you being able to be in the energy and love the energy and enjoy the lifestyle that your film would bring. And one other thing that I would say is, you know, we talk about surprise money. So maybe surprise money can fund your lifestyle. Maybe surprise money can help you be the filmmaker that you would like to have, as Carol has said. You know, one of the things that I like to ask for is a runaway magic freight train day. And what that basically means is there is so much magic, I can't hold on to it. It's like every time I turn around, there's something magical happens. It's a wonderful experience. I've had several days like that. I want to turn it into weeks and months. And I would also love to have a runaway magical rocket ship day. And I would encourage you all to allow yourself to have the same. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, Bria, that's so wonderful. Thank you. A runaway magic day? Is that a
runaway magic freight train day, which basically means there's so much magic and that freight train just plows through everything that doesn't allow the magic to happen.
Yes, it plows through all the negativity, right?
Uh-huh, the negativity or any resistance, you know, all that.
Oh, how exciting. I really love that vision. Thank you so much, Brianne. You always have such important information for us, and it's logical and well thought out. Thank you.